B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, great jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. All right, one of the things that we haven't discussed today as far as Eagles go, the curious case, Tyrone, of the running back, Jordan Howard. And he's supposedly day-to-day, it's a stinger. I know we, like, areas of the neck, I don't know if I can comment on what he's feeling or what he's going through, but, why would the Bears have gotten rid of him? Things like this make me question a guy's desire.
Oh, I actually don't question him. I'm questioning the other side. I'm questioning the Eagles' handling of it. I believe that it's more. I've heard rumors. Someone has said that it was more than a stinger, and the Eagles said it was a stinger when it was more. I actually do think he's legitimately hurt.
He's legitimately hurt.
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Well, then, we talk about cause and effect and why they wouldn't run the football. Obviously, that has impacted it, right?
In a big way, clearly.
Yeah, because the numbers say that in the first 9 games, the Eagles ran it 45.1% of the time.
And had some success.
Yes, and since Howard's been out, the percentage is down to 30.9. So the people that were screaming last week, they should run the ball more. Put him in there, can Miles Sanders be the guy who runs the ball a lot?
I would say no.
And can you trust Jai at this point to fill in and have a viable running game?
But that's my issue right there. McNabb actually mentioned it on the morning show on Monday that right now Sanders still has burst, but remember Westbrook's rookie year. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a little longer for certain running backs. It does. Westbrook didn't do a whole lot, emerged later. He thinks Sanders is going to be really good going forward, but doesn't think he's ready for that yet. But my question is then, running backs, you can find running backs. I'm not talking about star running backs. You can find passable running backs. Why sign Ajayi off of 13 months and not playing any football? How come other guys have practice squad guys that you might be able to give a couple of carries, a young guy, a young athlete, find that guy as a backup plan instead?
Yeah, they don't have any practice running backs, do they? Practice squad running backs.
No, and I think they had one, but then they didn't bring him up. And that's what I don't understand. I get if Sanders isn't ready, but there might be a back who has his second or third year around the league, who's not going to be a star, but with a lead, you might be able to hand, or in a one-possession game like the Patriots. I find that odd that they went and activated Ajayi that game.
Well, the Ajayi thing was done on an emergency basis. They had to grab a running back because they lost one, and they needed somebody to step in right away. They may have needed somebody to step in right away. No. He was a guy who obviously knew the playbook.
My thing is, other teams have a guy on their practice squad who's with them all the time, and in an emergency, they'll bring up a younger guy.
You're right about that. They don't have a practice squad running back.
And it's just odd. Not that he would be a star, but the Patriots and the Seahawks games were both, for the most part, one-score games. I agree with you completely. I think it's BS. The defense can't give up 37 points against the Dolphins. That's just
no. See, if I'm a coach, that would infuriate me, and I would just go crazy on my team. Now, I would even go out of character and give them an impression. Well, man, this is a different Doug.
He did do something today.
He did do something that way.
They practiced in pads today.
They practiced in pads. They hit
today.
All right, I like that.
That's a little different. Yeah.
I like it.
So.
Okay. All right, but I would have overturned food. That would be my,
That's the best way to get people. I think flipping tables is very effective.
I like it. Especially if it's out of character for a dude. Mm-hmm. All right, no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Flip the table. Boom. You guys live here comfortable, huh?
That's exactly right.
Eat it off the floor.
But then somebody else has to pick it up.
It's all right. You make your point.
And he's a millionaire. I'll pay the custodial guy. I'll drop him 100.
I threw a class out once that way.
You flipped a table?
Well, I didn't flip a table. I threw him out.
You weren't focused?
No. Three people I called on didn't read the case that I was going to teach from. And that was their homework assignment.
So what'd you say?
I said, get out. And they looked at me like, I went, get out. And they got their books, and I said, get out of here. Rules have changed.
There you go.
I said, now homework. Now, if you show up 1 minute late, you're not getting into class. Blah, blah. I went crazy on him.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Well.
Came focused the next show. Next class.
Next show. There you go.
Let's go to Gene in Doylestown. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Gene?
Hey, I was just, this whole Zach Wheeler thing. I love the fact that the Phillies signed him, and I don't get why people have any opinion at all as to whether or not they spent too much money on him. The money's not coming out of my pocket.
And it makes them better. Like, how do you add a 90 mile an hour starting pitcher and you're not, and you, that doesn't help? Of course it helps.
Like I said, they're just a bunch of miserables. They're looking for something to complain
about.
Well,
I think that what they're doing, Gene, is they go, well, they sign him instead of going Garrett Cole. The Garrett Cole thing, they may read the tea leaves like it's not going to be feasible. And we're going to get caught our pants down. We don't sign somebody. This guy is still a fairly young starting pitcher who throws hard.
And I guess people forget that just because they're free agents doesn't mean they have to go to the part. You know, and Garrett Cole has a say as to where he goes.
Those guys can go anywhere. He and Strasburg can go anywhere they want.
Anywhere they want.
Yes.
And if they don't want to come to Philly, it doesn't matter if he offers them $200 million. If they don't want to come here, they don't want to come here. So the fact that, like you said, they didn't wait till he was off the board. They made the move. They did it. They got it done. And, you know, I talked to you yesterday. If we can now get Didi Gregorius to play shortstop, get rid of the current cancer that's there, and get a Pilar to come in and play center field, we got a contending baseball team. And it'll be fun to watch them again. I would love to see JT Realmuto, you know, with real pitchers that he can call games for. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see what they could do. I mean, it would make baseball fun again.
I don't know if they'd be, what kind of contender they'd be, but they would be better. To me, having a set lineup that you can count on every day, and they still need a relief core. They only have three guys, really, down there under contract. So they're going to have to rebuild that. They have to add, I'm guessing, five more players.
Yeah, and again, maybe not contenders, but like I said, it'll make it fun to watch. Like tonight we have Sixers, Flyers, and a football game. And you know what? I don't care about the football game because the Sixers and the Flyers are so much fun to watch right now. I was telling the guy that answered the phone, I can't decide on what to watch tonight. I'm going to have the DVR one.
We're going to watch the Sixers game, but the Sixers will have an easy time of it tonight, won't they, Tyrone? That'd be an easy game for him.
I think so. The line opened at 6. It's up to 8 already.
Yeah. We will be paying attention to the Cowboys game. There's no question. Because that's actually an interesting game.
I think there's a decent chance that they lose to the Bears and the Rams. The Cowboys do.
Possible.
I really do.
So there you go. The division, you can win it at 8-8.
Right. But I do think the Eagles are going to beat the Giants. But will they beat Dallas? That's really what, to me, I think it's going to still come down to that, unfortunately for us. Because that means right before Christmas, fans will be either, because fans will get back on board. I know everybody's upset.
Well, they went two in a row.
You go into Christmas weekend with that game mattering. We will care about that game. And if the Eagles lose, it's going to be an unmerry Christmas.
610-622-0975, one open line. You can grab it. Sean in Northeast. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
Same stuff every day. You know, Doug's just sounding dumber and dumber at each conference. It's like he's totally losing the team because the things he's saying aren't matching up. Nobody else is speaking up for him. And it's like he is who we thought he was. We let him off the hook for the Super Bowl. And I think there needs to be a book burning at the foot of his statue to humble the man and bring him back down to earth.
Bring who back down to earth?
Doug.
Doug?
Yeah.
So you didn't like the book that he wrote, you're going to burn that?
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. You're writing books after Super Bowl? One Super Bowl?
You didn't care when he wrote it, did you? I remember balking when he wrote it. The fans, they loved it. Oh, Doug and his book. I didn't like it.
I think the statue's a curse, actually.
Well, yeah, see, you're looking at it 2 years ago. You got to be ahead of the game. I thought that was trouble when it happened, Tyrell, didn't I?
We all did. Yep. You are absolutely right. Yep. And we hate like the statue, too. Yes. Said it was too soon for a statue.
Exactly.
Yep. All right, now,
here's the thing, Sean.
Day.
You're going to have him next year. So don't worry about it. Doug Peterson is going to be a coach.
I think he's going to get two more years.
Two more, huh?
On how he finishes this year.
If they finish 7-9 next year, he's gone. I don't think there's any question about it.
Hopefully.
He's not going to get another year off of 7-9.
He's getting the chip complex where he's smarter than everybody in the room.
I think that's the opposite. I don't think he thinks he's smart at all. That's my problem. A smart guy goes, I know better than anybody. He doesn't seem to be that way right now. He seems to be very insecure about his abilities.
Yeah, he sure does look a little jittery in the news conference.
That's right. You got to get out there and be assertive. You can't be a repeater. You go out there and this is the way it is. We're playing lousy. It's my responsibility to this team up. I'm not satisfied with my performance, and I'm not satisfied with my team's performance, and we're going to get this thing right. Instead of being mealy-mouthed, he's a little mealy-mouthed to these pressers.
Yes.
Let's go to Brett and Trenton. Brett, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, bud?
What's up, Brett?
I just want to talk about the Eagles right now. I mean, if the Cowboys lose, I don't see one reason why the Eagles shouldn't be able to win the next following three games. I don't know what you're thinking about that, but...
I don't have a problem with them beating Giants and Redskins. I don't know what's going to happen in the Dallas game.
The Dallas game should be tough, but I think that, they usually either split with them or,
So you're good with the way things are transpiring here. You see playoffs?
Honestly, you really want my thing? Honestly, I'm a Jets fan, honestly. And I think Eagles fans really just need to hold tight and have faith. Really?
Why would we have faith?
Because honestly,
we think this is Nebraska.
He was already talking about getting rid of Doug Peterson,
Brett, this is an official football town. Now, you root for the Jets. You don't have, I can see where you are with that, you talk about a team that won a Super Bowl that's underachieving.
I still wear my Jets jacket, though.
It's hard to believe that you could be a fan of that organization.
It's hard.
It really is.
It really is.
But see, we're disgruntled here. We're not going to stand for it. Like, we don't have faith.
I understand that, though. But, I mean, you just got yourself a World Series. And now, you know what I mean?
World Series?
I mean, you got yourself a Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, how long is that supposed to last?
I think they just need to hold tight a second,
Brett, I can't even rip you because you're at the line of demarcation in Trenton, New Jersey, so you can be a Jets fan.
Central Jersey.
Yeah, Central Jersey. That's the line of demarcation. Trenton.
Do you agree with me? Is it Central?
Yeah, Trenton Central,
Okay, all right, because that's a big fight over here.
People in that Trenton area are entitled to go to New York if they want. It's the line of demarcation. It's either you go Philly or you go New York.
Yeah, I'm not friends with any people that go to New York. They live near me.
That's right. Bordentown is kind of in that.
Right there. It's right on the border. It's the last South Jersey town before it becomes Central. When I deal with the New York people, I'm never friends with them.
No, but I understand it. See, like the newspapers out there cover the Philadelphia and New York sports the same.
Well,
it's 50-50.
What's left of them?
Is the Trentonian still alive?
Barely.
It is still being published?
Yeah, no,
and the Trenton Times is?
My mother-in-law still gets it. I think
Trentonian was the tabloid, right?
Yeah, they get just... Wait, is it maybe... It's one of them still runs.
Oh, so one's out.
One's out. I forget which one, but they still get it, and it's unfortunate.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's nice. It's thin.
Jay in Cheltenham. Jay, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Jay, are you a fan of the big Cheltenham High School team?
No, I grew up in the city. That's where I just...
Oh, okay. Been, all right, because they're playing for the state championship.
I heard about it. But I was laughing. You had me laughing at work, man, about those game show. Did you know Paul Lynn? I think he was Snagglepuss and Templeton on Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, he had one of those voices. I remember him as Uncle Arthur on Bewitched.
He sure was. It sure was. I'm showing my age, though.
No, Bewitched. I love Bewitched. I was in love with her.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you something now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talked a lot of times in the past, but this debate now, you got the McNabb and Wentz. Remember he said that years ago when Carson first got drafted?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the talent, McNabb had Thrash, and I can't even remember some of the other guys he had with. Who Carson has, who do you think in the long run is going to be the better quarterback? Or you think of the coach? Or do you think if Wentz had Andy Reid, he would be better? Or do you think McNabb's talent is just...
Wow.
Might be better.
Man, you're asking me to go deep into the future here. Carson Wentz, I wasn't that fond of McNabb, I recognized what he did as a quarterback here. And his numbers, 37,000 yards, are borderline Hall of Fame. Now, can Carson Wentz get there? Yeah, I guess he can. But that's still a long road for him.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't answer
that's
the question.
What I'm saying, man.
There was a time,
talent, man.
Like 2 years ago, when he was an MVP candidate. I don't think there was any question that he was going to be the best quarterback in Eagle history. But that all of a sudden has hit a wall.
Exactly.
So I don't know. He's 26 years old now. So he's got a lot of catching up to do here. He's thrown for 12,000 yards. He's got 25,000 more yards in his career.
I know.
He should. He should have 25,000 more yards left in his career. Well, I just have to wait and see, man. I don't know what he is right now, Jay.
Me neither. That's what I don't know.
It leaves us in a tough spot.
I mean, look at the weapons Carson had, and McNabb, for the full 5 years, he had trash, and he still put up good numbers and took teams to the playoffs. You know,
You're killing Tyrone. You're killing Tyrone praising five.
I'm not praising five, but Tyrone knows the truth.
All right, Jay.
I'm embarrassed.
You're not feeling it?
He keeps talking about all the great weapons. What great weapons does Carson Wentz have? What's he talking about, these great weapons? What do you know? He kept saying that Carson had all these weapons.
No, Carson doesn't have all these weapons.
I can't have that. I can't have the he has weapons thing. And I think Andy Reid's a much better coach than Doug Peterson. I absolutely do. I think Carson Wentz would be better with a real coach like Andy Reid, who really knows how to work with quarterbacks. That's another thing. He got great coaching.
That's not answering the question that Jay asked. He is asking you this, because Andy Reid's not going to coach him. So Carson Wentz as an Eagle quarterback, does he become better than Donovan McNabb? Two years ago, we all said yes.
I still say yes fairly easily, actually.
You say yes fairly easily?
Yes, I think he's, yes, fairly easily. I think he passes five.
Really?
Touchdowns, yards, and I think he'll have less interceptions.
Has this year not made you pause?
Has not made me pause at
all. It has not made you pause?
Not one bit. Nope.
You see his mechanics are all whacked out. You see his confidence is all whacked out. Yep. It hasn't made you pause.
No, because I would be a basket case if I was playing on this Eagles team. A basket case. I'd be far worse than him dropping back, and I'm throwing to Mac Hollins and our Sega Whiteside. My mechanics would be messed up, too. I get to the top of my drop. Nobody's open because no one's still out. No one's open. And I got to do all that stuff every play, and I don't have a running game because of whatever reason. No, it hasn't made me waver one bit.
Five's third year in the league. 3,200, 33 yards, 25 touchdowns. Third year in the league.
Am I supposed to be impressed by
it? I'm just throwing it out there.
Last year in the bad year.
11-5.
And how many interceptions did he have?
12.
Right, so last year with a broke back, he had 21-7 and over 3,000 yards. With a broke back, he came in late and left early and had 3,000 yards, 21-7. I'm supposed to be impressed with what five did?
With a broke back.
He did have a broke back.
He
did have a broke back and he got 3,021-7. I'm not wavering at all. Five is the greatest quarterback in Eagles history, despite his personality and nature. I still think Carson will pass. I'm very comfortable.
That's a really interesting question, man.
And it really is. And here's another reason why. I don't think Doug and him will be connected for the long haul the way that Andy and him were connected. And I believe whatever coach will come in will know priority one is to connect with the quarterback and call a couple of plays that the quarterback likes and not some of the Foles plays. Which Doug is still doing, calling those dopey Foles dink and dunk plays. I'm tired of these plays.
What's everyone doing?
These 2 yard outs and stuff. You got a vertical quarterback throwing it all everywhere, way horizontal. I don't know about this coach, man. But if he's gone,
you are down on him. I think we should play the sound bites coming up.
Yeah, I'm good.
Let's play the sound bites that infuriated you today.
I can't.
By the way, my man from Cheltenham, because people are asking me, Cheltenham versus Archbishop Wood for the state championship.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wood, the much more experienced state playoff team. I make the Vikings of Archbishop Wood a 13.5 point favorite over Cheltenham.
13.5.
Ooh.
Heavy favorites.
Yes.
Over Cheltenham.
Yep.
All right.
The line tells you something?
That line's screaming, to go with the bishop.
Yep. Unfortunately, the Chelts have had a good season, but it ends here. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is 4:29. It's time to get a Twitter poll update. We haven't had one in a while. Twitter poll update is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Natalie Agnew.
Yes, Mike, it is time for a Twitter poll update. You are so right. Let me just tell you how right you are. Because there are over 1,500 votes on today's poll.
Is that right?
Yeah. Do you still believe in Doug Peterson? Ooh, these results are getting interesting. 54% say yes, 46% say no. So it's almost 50-50.
54% are okay with him?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. All right. I thought it'd be reversed today. Doug, I gotta tell you, Doug, if you're probably driving home now. Well, maybe not.
Going to lovely Morristown.
Is that where he's at?
Yeah, because he's like takes part in a lot of stuff there. I'm not trying to put his address out. He's talked about it. Like, yeah.
No, he's probably still at the building.
Or fourth, yeah, he's still at the building.
Yeah. Well, he's not.
He got the show on. Now he has the show on TV.
Because that Twitter poll would encourage him. Yeah. Those people are on his side.
Well, those are also people hanging on to 2017 wasn't a fluke. If you voted yes to that, if you said it wasn't a fluke, you then can't say Doug stinks because then you're saying it was a fluke.
Yeah. The Fanatic Holiday Wheel, by the way, is coming back. Now, this year, we'll be spinning the Holiday Wheel 3 times a day. We start that on December 16th. So, morning show, 8 a.m., Gargano at 1 p.m., and the Missinelli Show at 5 p.m., and you'll have a chance to win some amazing prizes. It's always fun to spin the Holiday Wheel. So they'll go to the contest page on 975thefanatic.com and register now for your chance to become a Holiday Wheel contestant. We bark out a name, and that name usually has, like, we'll give them 10 minutes to call back, and then they can spin the wheel. So you got to be listening. The Fanatic Holiday Wheel. Let's go, Curtis in Overbrook. Curtis!
Yo, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Where you been?
Oh, man, I'm here. Trust me. I'm always usually listening. I don't always like to call in. I got a lot to get to. So let me be expeditious about this. First off, don't drink water an hour before bed if you don't want to go to the bathroom.
Well, last night, while my party was having the alcohol beverage of their choice, I was drinking water because I couldn't drink the alcohol because of the blood test.
Yeah.
So I wound up drinking like 3 bottles of water. And then I got home and drank some more water. And so that's the way it came out.
Yep. I tell you, I've actually done this experiment. So let me move on to my next point. My next point is, yes, the Eagles got lucky in 2017 with Doug and everything. It's absolutely evident. First of all, you can tell by the 2 caveats that are still here, by Doug and by Carson. And I love Carson. But you can see that Carson is kind of a little different from 2017, whether it's good, bad, or different.
Yep.
Doug is very different from then. I mean, like, there's one thing that has absolutely driven me crazy. Second half of games, we used to run teams into the ground, man. You didn't stand a chance in the second half because we would run the ball down your throat, and that would wear teams down in 2017. He hasn't gone back to that formula. And that was a successful
formula. Well, and we just talked about, like, you know, I'm not trying to like take the heat off of him, but you know he doesn't have Jordan Howard as a pounder, right? So and then in this game, I understand, like, we've been over this so many times about that they didn't run the ball against Miami, right? And I'm going, when did the people want them to run the ball? With they had two touchdown lead. And then they moved the ball down in scoring position rather quickly. So evidently they didn't need to run there, right? Because the way they were moving, it was almost going to get them another touchdown and would have been another touchdown that Ertz held on to that ball. Yep. So now when Miami creeps to 28-26, is that when you run it?
No, but at some point you should run that ball in the second half because you're ahead, and when you're ahead in the second half...
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is they got ahead. Next possession, you would usually run the ball. Miami scored right after they went ahead two touchdowns.
True.
And then their next possession, they moved the ball the way they moved the ball to get into scoring position again. So, like, even in that drive, they didn't need to run the ball.
Correct. All right.
In general, you're right. Now, I've been arguing with people about this game. Like, I'm going, okay, where should they have run the ball? Yeah. And if you look at the way it transpired, you really can't come up with a great drive there where they should have ground at the clock.
Yeah, that's true. Well, one last point I'm going to make, because like I said, I wanted to get into a few things. I was kind of disappointed today of all the people I heard prior to your show. Not all the people. I did hear a few people kind of poo-poo the Willer thing, which I thought was just crazy because you actually laid out why the Willer thing was a good thing. And that's actually what made me call today, that and the water thing, was that, you know, at least they didn't wait and try to put all their eggs in the basket of Cole. You know, they went out and were proactive. Now, maybe they can still pull that off. I don't think it is, but maybe, who knows? Or they'll go get someone else who's serviceable. But I'm at least thankful that they have gotten a top flight pitcher and he was the fourth ranked pitcher that was available in the for free agency. So I'm happy with that. I'm looking for a third baseman, though, Mike. There's no third baseman available that we want.
Yeah, but that's their top prospect. Plays that position.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot that's their top.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand the reluctance. This is what, like, if I ran an organization, I wouldn't be as reluctant. You know, somewhere along the line, you got to take a chance on a guy. Now, he is your top guy, right? If you're not going to take a chance on the top guy, who are you going to take a chance on? Like, your everyday lineup is good enough to let the kid have some growing pains. And if it doesn't work, well, then you rearrange the deck. I don't know. I don't understand this. We've got to have a guy that plays third base for a while. So we'll have Scotty Kingery play third until Bohm is ready. And like, what? Go into a season with a direction. That's all I'm asking. Now, the Wheeler thing, there's a great story in Sports Illustrated on the breaking down his stuff. Now, I don't know why the Mets would approach him this way, but when he apparently likes to throw his two-seam fastball. Now, the two-seam fastball has automatic action, which tails into a right-handed batter as a right-handed pitcher. And I get why pitchers like to use that, because they usually will get ground balls off of that and balls that aren't on the barrel of the bat, feeble ground balls. And if he has guys on base, he threw the two-seamer more with guys on base. But the stats say that they hit his two-seamer at a 304 clip. Now, if I'm the pitching coach, I go, hold on, come here. Let's get away from the two-seamer. You're best with the four-seamer elevated. You get the ball up and in, there's no barrel that's going to catch up to that. So let's go with that, because 234, they're hitting against that. So, to me, it's fundamental, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so let's go. Four seam is your top pitch, like Schilling's was. Command the strike zone with it. Go up and in with two strikes. Go to slider away. And you throw the two seamer 10% of the time. Right now, you're throwing it almost 30% of the time. So we'll change it up.
And
you're going to be a better pitcher this way.
And that's where a pitching coach can make a difference. People say, what do pitching coaches and hitting coaches, that kind of thing, they can look at that kind of number and adjust.
Yes.
A great pitcher's a guy with great stuff, adjust his approach. And maybe on the other side, he's a great pitcher all the way around because he's approaching it better.
Right. Now, you saw Garrett Cole pitch last year, right?
Lights out.
He killed people with a high four-seamer up and in.
Right.
And couldn't touch it.
And he worked that fastball. That he was going to enter the game, basically, I'm going to throw this fastball. And unless you hit it, then I'll work my other stuff. But he was default four-seamer. And then everything else became way secondary, which I think is a smart approach.
I mean, I look at this guy and I go, I can work with this. He's thrown 98, and they're going to hit 234 against my four-seamer. I'm good.
And then think about a series now. You got Nola one night. And then him another night, completely different approaches.
Yeah.
It's probably tough to work to, you know, go from one to the other. It should be a decent 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying it should be done. Listen, I don't care about the damn luxury tax. So if Garrett Cole wants to play here and you can make a good enough offer with Boris, then we're like way ahead of the game.
See, now I can let you dilly-dally with the field a little bit. If you get me Cole, and then I got Cole 1, Nola, Wheeler, all right, if you want to do some experimentation with your third, I understand you don't have unlimited money because you just gave a guy probably $40 million. All right, now you want to play around, I'll have to accept that because look what you just did with your rotation. So if I have to deal with jetpacks at third base for a month or this guy, now I can accept it because look what you did on the other end. I understand you're not going to be able to get Cole plus a great third baseman plus a center. Like, I get that then if you get Cole. But as is, you fiddy-faddling around. Yeah. I can't have it.
Or Strasburg. One of the other. Strasburg is a notch below Colt. But, I don't know. Strasburg might want to find it interesting to play with the Phillies and leave Washington and play with a team that he thinks can beat Washington. Now they're going to be depleted and lose a couple guys. Plus, they got their World Series ring. So, yeah, he accomplished what he needed to accomplish there. Maybe he would like a change of scenery. I don't know.
And the Phillies seem like the team that doesn't want to do a lot of deferred money. And apparently everything that Washington offers has a bunch of that deferred money at the end. They playing funny with it. It's a 10-year contract, but we're paying you for 40 years.
Yeah.
Like, and some players probably want their money now. I know I would.
All right, let's go take a break. Other side, one of the members of the callers team who brought his good luck charm last night in the taping of the Philly feud is on deck, Vicente. So let's hang in there for Vicente. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, radio, TV, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:46. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Just one last thing on Wheeler. Four-seam fastball. When you're let's take Zach Eflin. They tried to turn him into an elevated four-seam fastball guy, right? See, when you throw 94 and you slightly miss, guess what that is? That's meat. When you throw 98 and slightly miss, you can still get a pop-up. That's the difference in velocity from 94 to 98 when you're trying to throw elevated heat. Some can catch up. Good luck. Vicente in Lansdowne checking in. What's up, Vicente?
Hola, amigo Mikey.
Hola, Vicente.
So excited and so happy. Thank you so much for giving me the honor to represent our beloved Fanatic fan that we are proud to be Philadelphian.
Well, listen, you were the best dressed member of your team last night, bud.
Thank you. You were the best. You were like Dapper Don. With expensive suits. Let me tell you, it was fun to finally meet, you know, our contestant, Drew from Westchester. Dean from Southertown, him and his family, and Jerome, our brother from West Philly.
That's correct.
shout out to everybody. You know, I am an Ecuadorian guy who came to Philadelphia 20 years ago. I've been 20 years proud of being an Eagles fan, and I keep learning and learning more.
Well, you're really great, and because you brought the team mascot, which was an eagle on a where did you get that again?
I told you 20 years ago. I went back. I was going flying from New York to Ecuador,
uh-huh.
And I waited like 3 months over there for my paperwork to come through. And then I told my wife, since I'm not gonna go back to New York, I'm gonna stay and live with you in Philadelphia. I'm gonna bring an eagle because the eagle is representative of our proud nation to be an American, and our Eagles logo for the Eagles national football team. So I brought this eagle carved in artwork, you know, from Ecuador, and it has been a lucky charm for me.
That's amazing. It's an Ecuadorian eagle.
Correcto mundo.
That's beautiful.
So I was having
to
meet Ellen, the producer, and looking forward. I told my coworkers, my friends, they are all anxious to see when it's going to be broadcast. I told them about a month, you know.
Yes, we'll give you the exact date and time in the future. Yes.
But, you know, it was fun. We waited for the Godfather, Anthony Gargano.
That's correct. Anthony was a little tardy last night.
Yes,
but
it was worth it because we have fun with this, you know.
Yeah, it was a fun night, Vicente. Thanks for being part of it.
Unfortunately, you couldn't drink, and you know, because of the test procedure that you had to do, and I didn't drink neither because I don't want to get caught up with a DUI.
Sure,
and drive back home, you know.
Yes, absolutely. It was a wise move.
We're gonna get together with Jim from Southertown. A big shout out to our new friend. I wanted to tell you about the Eagles, you know, Coach Peterson, he's going to stay with the team, you know. It's going to be some changes in the assistant coaches and then bringing new people, you know.
Yeah. He's going to be here for at least 3 años. And then maybe he gets the zippy. Next year, 6-10, definite zippage. 7-9, most likely zippage. 8-8. Yeah. Against the Ziggy at 8-8?
He's got to make the playoffs next year.
All right.
He's got to make the playoffs next year. Because
probably right.
And I don't think he'd go alone if they don't make the playoffs. Howie, too.
The Houster?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Lori.
I don't know.
You already put him in the basement once.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Howie leaving. I think Howie's got a long life.
Another bad draft.
He's like that new battery, extra power.
I don't know why every battery's not that bad.
Steve in South Jersey. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. How you guys
What's
doing?
Up, Steve?
Hey, listen, Mike. I got a Phillies point now. I got to say something good about my Flyers.
All right, sure. Wait, did you hear AV on yesterday?
What's that?
We had AV on.
I know. I was working.
Oh!
Crazy. Yeah, I missed
all
it.
Right. You so get bad. On the podcast and you hear Alain Vigneault.
Hey, Mike, listen, about the signing of Wheeler, you know what I like? I mean, God forbid, hopefully he stays healthy, but you know what I like about that? They signed him early. It gives him time to come in, put his oats down a little bit, you know what I mean? Get to know the organization. And I think it was a good move. If the guy's healthy, he knows how to pitch. That's what we need underneath Nola.
Yeah, I don't think they wanted to risk losing a guy that they knew they could get and would help. And I hope it doesn't preclude them from continuing to shop. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
I agree. I still think they need a third, like, you know, average guy, and then hopefully Jake is healthy, and throw Eflin in there and you see what you got. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. But about the Fly Boys, Mike, listen, I talked to you a couple weeks ago and we were talking about, well, let's see, you know, 25 games in, 30, whatever. And you know what? I'm impressed. I mean, I could be wrong, but I see things. I'll give you a couple points that I haven't seen in many years. Number one, this team, from the players to the coaches to even the organization, the way, like, they bring up these young players they wouldn't have done in years.
Yeah.
And they mix it with the veterans, you know, like, the way Hayes has done. And Mike, I was watching a game the other night with the defenseman they brought in. I can't pronounce his name right now. But he ended up getting a bloodied up face.
Niskanen. Niskanen.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And you know what? You couldn't keep that guy on the bench. You know, to me, that's these young kids like Frost and stuff. They look at that, and it just, you know, it sticks in them. Like, look at this guy. This is a veteran, and I think he's really helped the defense. I really like that move. Him and Hayes together, they've really come through, you know. And look at the power play, you know. I mean, when's the last time we could say that we scored 30 points, 1995, when our big boy Lindros had 115 points? That's the last time, you know.
The PP is potent. The PK is good.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
The lines, Mike. We got three good lines and an average fourth line. Any one of these lines on any given moment can score.
Yeah, like I like it too. You made a good point about the young players. They have been in the past reluctant to take chances on younger players, but the young players, now they're going to hit a wall. Like Farabee hit a bit of a wall. Frost probably hit a wall, but they're not afraid to bring him up to give the team a little energy, and that's what young guys do. They give the team energy. So yeah, I'm good. I'm good with the Flyers right now. 610-622-0975. And, you know, I didn't think much of the Kevin Hayes. But this is where you get into the mind of a guy like Vigneault. He's not looking at anything spectacular from that guy. He overpaid him because he brings some kind of steadiness.
Yep, he's been there. He knows how he wants everybody to play.
And that's a coach who reads, like, things like that. Like, you don't have to be a dynamic player to be a really valuable player.
Right, and he probably knew these some young talent coming up. I need a guy because these guys can play.
All right, one line is open, 610-632-0975 as we roll into the 5 o'clock hour on the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.